Disc 5.
Chapter 17. When Catherine got up, Prudence was already gone for the day. Sundays were the nanny's day off, and Prudence didn't like to waste a minute. Catherine thought it was just as well. The sun was out, an almost unbearably bright blue sky yawning above, looking the way only a New England sky could look during the crisp days of November. Catherine went from room to room, turning on lights anyway. She thought she might be going a little mad. Had she slept last night? She couldn't be sure. Sometimes she dreamed, so that must have involved sleep. She'd seen Nathan the day he was born. She'd been pushing for 3 hours. Almost there, the doctor kept telling her. She'd stopped screaming 2 hours ago, and now only panted heavily, like a barn animal in distress. The doctors lied, Jimmy lied. She was dying, and this baby was tearing her in two. Another contraction. Push, screamed the doctor. Push, screamed Jimmy. She sank her teeth in her lower lip and bore down desperately. Nathan came out so fast he overshot the doctor's waiting hands and landed on the sheet-covered floor. The doctor cheered. Jimmy cheered. She merely groaned. Then they put little Nathan on her chest. He was blue, tiny, all covered in muck. She didn't know what she was supposed to think. She didn't know how she was supposed to feel. But then Nathan moved, his tiny little lips rooting for her breast, and she found herself unexpectedly blubbering away like an idiot. She cried huge, fat tears, the only genuine tears she had shed since her childhood. She cried for Nathan, for this beautiful new life that had somehow come from her own barren soul. She cried for this miracle she had never believed could happen to her, and she cried because her husband was holding her close, her baby was snuggling against her, and for a fraction of an instant, she did not feel alone. She dreamed of her mother. Catherine saw her standing in the doorway of her childhood bedroom. Catherine lay in her narrow bed, her eyes desperately alert. She had to stay awake because if she slept, the darkness would come, and in the darkness would be him, forcing her head into his lap. The smell, grunting as he rammed himself into her, a camel trying to pass through the eye of a needle. The pain. Or it would be worse. It would be the days and weeks later, when he didn't even have to force her anymore, when she simply did whatever he wanted because resistance was futile, because the indignities no longer mattered, because the little girl who'd been thrown into this hellhole didn't exist anymore. Now only her body remained, a dried-up shell going through the motions and feeling only gratitude that he returned to her at all.